My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Well, it figures that the week that there's tax reform in front of Congress, that I get this passage to preach on. Things are getting a little tense in Matthew's story. We're getting closer to the crucifixion. Jesus has recently overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, and he is still teaching in the temple in our gospel lesson. These two groups come together, and in the Greek it really says to conspire to entrap him. And they want to entrap him in his own words. Once again, we've been through this a number of times. These two groups, however, are strange bedfellows. You have one group that are the Herodians, obviously follow Herod, who is a puppet of the Roman government. And then you have this other group, the Pharisees, who are really very loyal to the common people and to the Jews. They're teachers and they're leaders of the temple. So really it would be rare for these two groups to get together. But they do so in their common disdain for Jesus. First they try to butter him up. But Jesus sees right through their hypocrisy. Is it lawful, they say, to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Well, it's a catch-22. If Jesus says yes, they will accuse him of blasphemy, of showing allegiance to Caesar instead of to God. And if he says no, they will see it as treason and arrest him for treason. But Jesus does neither. Toss me a coin, he says. And they give him a denarius, the most common coin of the time. And some say that at this point he had already trapped them. Because had a Pharisee had a Roman coin inside the temple, he was breaking the first commandment, which said no graven images. You see, in the temple, you paid your temple tax or your offering with a coin that did not have an image on it. So for them to have this coin would have been against their own Jewish laws. So at any rate, he's got the coin, and he cleverly points out the image on the coin, and he asks a question. Whose image and whose title is on this coin? Well, obviously the emperor, Tiberius. But the inscription that's also around that coin says, Son of the divine Augustus, the Caesars claimed to be gods. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, Jesus says, and tosses the coin back at them. And give to God the things that are God's. They were amazed at his wisdom. Well, images are important. We still use them a lot today. Perhaps some of you have an image on your shirt or on your shoes somewhere. Maybe it's a big Spartan S or a big gold M. If you're wearing a Buckeye, you're in trouble. Some of us might have Under Armour sportswear on, or a Nike swoosh. And still others may have a little American flag pin. Some of us identify with the treble clef, and some of us identify with this symbol. In fact, we all do. Whose image do you bear? Under what image have you been cast? You know, it's fun to say that we are loyal to the Spartans or to the Wolverines, but you know, we all know that's not where our main allegiance lies. There's no way, however, to escape complicity with the powers that be in our world, with the government, with money, with corporations. They all affect every one of us. We do not live in a perfect kingdom yet. We are in constant battle with that which is not God's kingdom. And that's the reality of discipleship in our world today. Wherever God's kingdom is not yet brought to bear, there is sin. But Jesus is saying, we do not belong to it. If you're looking for the image of God, all you have to do is look in a mirror. If you remember Genesis 1, verse 26, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and so on. We are God's image in the world. Everything we have belongs to God. It's a trust from God. We're just taking care of it until we die, because as the saying goes, you can't take it with you. We are then called to have dominion over all things. And this has been really misinterpreted over the years. Was thought to be having dominion meant to be able to use something for our own selfish reasons. But actually, to have dominion means to care for, to steward all that God has given us. And all of it ultimately belongs to God. So what is it that you truly value? I have my list here. I was thinking maybe nature, our beautiful creation we value. A walk in the woods in the fall, enjoying the water throughout the summer here in Michigan. Obviously, it comes from God. Our families, for many of us, is our most treasured gift. And that is exactly what it is, a gift. A gift that most of us recognize. But when we think about the time that we spend with them, the ability we have to travel and see them around the country or even around the world nowadays, that's a gift too. Jobs. In America, we mostly think we've earned our way. We've gone to school, we've worked hard, we deserve everything we have. But we have seen others lose their jobs, even though they did everything right. Jobs, too, are a gift from God. We value money, of course, but I think more than that, we value security. Homes, health care, a future without worries. Again, they are all gifts of God. Many of us love animals. We love our pets, and they are God's gift to us. Your faith, freedom to worship, our family here at St. Luke's are a gift of God's grace. And I could go on and on. For me, books are at the top of the list. I really love my books. I love the stories, but I also love to learn from books. For others, it might be sports. Skiing, for example, soccer, football, lacrosse. Physical activities come from our Maker. Movies, entertainment of any kind. We forget that they come from the Creator. We and all we have belong to God. God has branded our foreheads with the image of the crucified Christ in holy baptism. We are named and claimed His own, and we are loved by Him. So we, then, are the representatives of God's love in the world. Being made in God's image affects what we do each and every day, the decisions we make, the actions we take, and the witness of this church. We are called, as Martin Luther said, to be little Christs in the world, extending to all the abundant life that God offers, and trusting that there will be enough for ourselves. Now, Bishop Satterley has a talk about how you cannot serve both God and money. That sounds quite a bit like Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The nature of God is generosity, abundance. And so Bishop Satterley invites us to make decisions not necessarily on what is financially prudent all the time, but rather on what is faithful, on what serves God and promotes God's mission. He says we can gain power over money not by hoarding it and saving it, but by giving it away. Ridiculously, generously, extravagantly, abundantly, just like God does. We can give it away to feed people who will never pay us back. We can give it away to help the elderly who may not be here to help us later. We give it away to plant seeds in children who will not necessarily stay in this community. We are freed by Jesus' death and resurrection to share God's abundance with all. Amen.